Well, good morning, Conquerors class. This is Brother Ray Shutt coming to you again today through the internet for our Conquerors Sunday School lesson. I want to thank you for joining us each week, and I want to remind you of something today that is very special, should be very special for each of us. Today, being Sunday, June the 7th, 2020, is a day that we will remember for a long time, because this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And today we are going to be able to meet for the first time since the middle of March of this year in the church auditorium, and we're going to be able to have a live preaching service there with our pastor, and we'll get to be there together with him. That's right. This morning at 10:45, we join one another for the first service since this COVID-19 virus took effect and all the precautionary measures that the governor had put out to avoid people getting in contact with it and catching this pestilence disease. But today, we're going to be able to meet together at the church at 10:45 in the morning. And the service will last about an hour or so. We hope that you're going to be able to be there. If you're not, then be sure to tune it in live right here on our website. And you can still watch the service, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. Then we'll come back again to tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. for the Sunday night service. And then Pastor will be coming back again live there at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And we'll be able to meet together again. Now, there are precautionary measures that we need to take. And Pastor has outlined these precautionary measures on our church website. Our church website is opendoorchurch.org. Just simply go to the internet and type in Open Door Church, one word, opendoorchurch.org. And as you open up the page, the very first video you see on the page will be our pastor's instructions. I hope you'll bring a mask. We'll have some there if you do not have one. But we want to take the necessary precautionary measures to make sure that no one catches this dreaded disease and that we can still enjoy our service time together there on at 10:45 this morning. All right? Now, I want to remind you of something. This next week, this coming Saturday, we had scheduled originally our chuck wagon cookout there at the Real Farm. And as you know, we've had it posted on our Sunday School webpage. We're not going to be able to do that this year because of the virus situation. And I know that Brother Jim and Sister Linda and Brother Mark and his wife Tiffany and all the kids have so longed and looked for us to be there. But for precautionary measures, we're not going to be able to have the Conqueror's Cookout this year. So we wanted to remind you about that. For other announcements, you can go to our Sunday School webpage. We have all the announcements there. I hope that you'll take time to do that. And that the lessons that are listed and all the announcements that are there will be a help and encouragement to you while we're going through this pestilence time. All right? Now, last Sunday was our fourth lesson in this new series entitled So Great Salvation. And I love the lesson from last week simply because it was entitled Why the Word of God is So Important in Our Great Salvation. Now you say, but Brother Ray, why are you bringing up last Sunday's lesson in the lesson for today? Well, I want to tell you why. It's because the lesson today, which is entitled Am I Really a New Creature in Christ After I Get Saved? The answer to that question is found within the Word of God. And that's what makes the Word of God so exciting and so important in our lives. So I want you today to follow the outline there on our website. You'll go through the scripture verses. I have them marked for you. And we'll go through the lesson today. And I want to answer this question. Am I really a new creature in Christ after I get saved? I think that the lesson can be summed up in this one thought, that God has made me to be the new creature in Christ that I am. You see, folks, it's not a work of our doing, but it's all of God's doing that we are made this new creature in Christ. Paul reminds us of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where he writes, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to think about this lesson today as we begin it. And I want you to think about what God is trying to show us from His precious Word. All right? And how that we can know that we truly are a new creature in Christ after we get saved. You know, when we, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, God does a marvelous work in our lives, does He not? And not only does He do that work spiritually, but He also does some great things in the physical sense as well. Our lesson theme verse again today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where Paul reminds us, therefore, if any man, it doesn't matter what the past, it doesn't matter what the present is, if any man be in Christ, there's the qualification. If he be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, as far as God is concerned, when we accept God's gift of eternal life through that finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our past sins are forgiven and forgotten, and our present sins are forgiven and forgotten, and our future sins are forever blotted out through the precious blood atonement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? We read in the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Micah asks this question. He says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Now think about that for just a moment. We read in the last part also of a book in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 17, how the Lord has cast all our sins behind his back. Now what that means is that our sins will never again be seen by the Lord God. For in his great love and in his great mercy, our sins have been hidden from his eyes. Can somebody say amen to that? Man, that's great. And then I want you to look at something else. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 103, verses 10, 11, and 12, he wrote these words. He said, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Man, I just get excited about that, don't you? The Apostle Paul, he wrote over in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verses 1 through 4, of how sin can no longer condemn the child of God who has truly been saved and who now walks by faith and who lives in the joy of the Holy Spirit of God each and every day. In that passage of Scripture from the New Testament, Paul tells us this. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for our sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, and he asked them this question. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to this. And such were, past tense, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What a blessing it is to think about what God does for us the very moment we receive His dear Son as our own personal Savior. I believe, truly, that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, sums it all up very nicely by reminding us of this. He said, and you hath He quickened. Now that word quickened means brought to life or made alive. And you hath He quickened who were, notice that, were, past tense, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, oh, thank the Lord for that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, isn't that a great thing to think about? You know, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus there in the garden that night so long ago, Jesus told Nicodemus the simple facts, beginning with the fact found here in John chapter 3, verse number 3, where Jesus told him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Jesus speaks those famous words to Nicodemus that so many of us have both heard and learned from the days of our childhood, found here in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, where Jesus lovingly told Nicodemus, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you see, folks, because God so loved us, and because it is God who has been so good to save us, you and I should never be ashamed to tell others how that God took someone so vile and so wretched such as you and I, And he literally birthed us into his family. That very moment that we called upon him and by faith asked him to forgive us of our sin and to save us. Man, isn't that something to think about? Now listen, with all that in mind, I want us now to take a look at this thought from the Word of God this morning so that we can truly see exactly what it means to not only become, but to be seen by God as a new creature in Christ. Am I really a new creature in Christ after I get saved? The answer is yes. And I want to show you how that we can know that today in this lesson. Point number one, follow along with me there now on the outline, on the website. You can print it out as well, but follow along with me. Point number one, what does it mean, okay, when I say that I'm a new creature in Christ? Well, it means that the old things are passed away. I've got a new beginning. You know, our theme verse again, I've read this twice already. But our theme verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, it reminds us and says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now, when God saves us, the Bible talks about how he redeems us. And that word redeemed literally means that God bought us back. He repurchased us. He paid the ransom that was due for our great debt of sin. You see, when man sinned there in the Garden of Eden, he fell to sin. And when Satan grasped hold of man, he looked at God and said, I've got him. Now, if you want him back, you've got to pay the price. And God did exactly that. And God freed us from Satan's bondage and captivity through the payment made upon Calvary's cross by Jesus Christ our Lord. And when God did this, he cleared us of all our past sin debt, which was hanging over us. And he literally set us free from the horrible consequences of all our sins, making us new creatures in himself. All the old things of the past are now passed away. They're covered by the precious blood of the crucified one. And as we read earlier, he has cast all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. That was in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. And he has cast all our sins behind his back where he can never see them again. That was Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17. And in so doing, he has removed all of our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west, according to the psalmist David there in Psalm chapter 103, verse 12. Hallelujah! Man, what a Savior we have today. All our past sin has been forgiven and forgotten. And he not only saved us, but all the old things are now passed away. But I want you to look at the rest of that verse. I want you to notice here in this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that the verse doesn't stop there, but it goes on to say, all things are become new. Now look at it with me here today. Behold, all things are become new. Now let me ask you, did he say some things? No, he said all things. Did he say just the really bad things? No, he said all things. Let me ask, did he just say those things that offended people around you or those things that simply hurt other people's feelings? No, no, no. He said, look at it with me here today. He said, behold, all things are become new. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And not only does God make us a new creature in Christ Jesus when he saves us, but he wipes away all the past, and bless his heart, he makes all things new. Amen? Praise the Lord for that fact today. You see, this is what it truly means to be a new creature in Christ. But I want you to see a second thing this morning. Not only does this mean that God has made us to be a new creature in Christ, but, Roman numeral number 2, it means that things have changed for me each and every day. Now, let me share something with you this morning. I want to share some things that changed for us the very moment that God saved us. Look at this. Part number A. He gave us a new hunger and thirst for righteousness the very moment that he saved us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And in John chapter 6, verse 35, the Bible goes on to say, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." All throughout the Bible, we see how salvation affected people and how things changed in a great and positive way for them. And while salvation does not make us sinless or perfect in any manner, in that we do not sin, salvation does indeed change us so that we no longer desire to sin. In other words, God gives us a new wanter, and his sweet indwelling Holy Spirit gives us a new hunger and a new thirst for God's holy righteousness. And that happens the very moment that he saves us. Child of God, listen. Our desire should be to please the Lord by obeying his word and by having fellowship with him through time spent in the word of God and in learning to obey his word, as well as in time spent alone with God in prayer and in worshiping him and in fellowshipping with other Bible-believing Christians. That's how we learn to please the Lord. Again, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And folks, when God saves us, we become his dear children through that new birth. And nothing can reverse that birth or change our relationship with God. Nothing. I am his and he is mine forever. And as each of you and I have seen, and as each of you who have been saved by for any length of time can confess, because we still live in this old robe of flesh, we're still tempted at times to sin and to disobey God's word. And even though our spiritual relationship is forever secure with God through Christ Jesus, we must understand that willful and continual sin in the life of a child of God will indeed break the fellowship that we have with God who has saved us. And this is why John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he said, "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that new hunger and that new thirst that salvation brings causes us to want to please the one who has saved us and who has so wonderfully forgiven us of all our sin. But remember, child of God, just because we're now saved from eternal damnation and eternal separation from God in hell does not mean that we can just live any old way we want to live. We've been saved so as to live for God and to do his will, not our own will. And that's why we need to realize the fact that not only do we now have a new hunger and thirst for righteousness, but we also have, part number B, a new friend versus an old enemy. You know, it's good to have a friend that will stick by you in times of trouble. The devil is not that type of a friend. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 40, verse number 3, "And he hath put a new song in my heart, my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." You see, God wants there to be a difference in our lives. And when we get saved, Christ becomes that new friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But there's a battle going on. Our new friend, versus the old enemy. You see, Satan knows what a new birth in Christ can do for a person who was once lost in their sin. But please remember something, folks. The devil hates God. And because you are now God's child, you need to remember, the devil now hates you too. And the devil will do whatever he can to tempt you to disobey the Lord and to ruin your testimony for Christ and to cause you to look bad as a child of God in front of others. God's word warns us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. He said there, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So we need to take all sin, folks, seriously. And we need to become wise and obedient servants of God, learning to expect and to watch for the devil to do what he does to try to tempt us to fall into some sort of sin and to disobey the word of God, because he will. Listen to me today, dear child of God. The devil is not your friend. Can I say that again? The devil is not your friend. He never has been your friend, and he never will be your friend. The devil is the adversary, the very enemy of God. Therefore, he is your enemy as well. But thank God for the word of God that shows us how to have victory over sin and over the devil. Even as we read there in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, where James teaches us to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Yes, the fact is, the devil will indeed try to tempt us to sin against God. And oftentimes, he's going to attempt to do this in a very seemingly small and insignificant way. But we've got to learn not to allow even so-called little sins to break our fellowship with the God who has saved us and who has given us his gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in God's eyes, sin is sin, no matter how big and no matter how small. Therefore, we must be wise and willing to choose to abstain from all appearance of evil, even as we read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. No one is perfect. Did you know that? When I got married, my wife found out I was not perfect. Bless her heart. I know it was a disappointment, but bless her heart, she found out I was not perfect. And guess what? I found out she wasn't perfect either. No one is perfect. And sooner or later, we're all going to sin, whether intentionally or unintentionally. But the Apostle Paul wrote words to encourage us and to help us to keep our eyes on the Lord, especially in times of temptation. He wrote about this over in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Will you turn there with me and read that? Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Listen to what he said. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we must not allow ourselves to hang on to those things that tempted us in the past and enslaved us and caused us to sin against God before we were saved. Whether it was through music or through books or through activities or through certain people or through even electronic devices or social media like we have today or any other means. Oh, that we might just determine within our hearts to allow God to take first place in our life each and every day. And when we do that, child of God, God will give us the victory over sin and over all those things, whether big or small, which may cause us to be tempted to sin against God. In the book of Acts, chapter number 19, verses 18 through 20, we read about that early church and how many of those folks got saved. And listen to what it says in these verses. Acts chapter 19, verses 18 through 20. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God, and listen to this, and prevailed. You see, God blesses us, and God gives us the victory and the joy when we allow Him to lead us and to guide us away from the sin that our enemy would have had us to hang on to and fall prey to again in our Christian life. And He, as that friend which sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives strength so that we might demonstrate faithful and loving obedience in Christ toward God as His dear child before those that are around us. Yes, we do indeed have a terrible enemy today who still wants to defeat us and still wants to take away the testimony that Christ has given unto us through God's salvation. But thank God that we have a new friend who is able to give us the strength and wherewithal to overcome that old enemy. But then number three, I want you to see how that it also means that because I have a new friend in Jesus, that I too should have a new desire. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 17, he wrote some things here that I think you need to mark in your Bible. I really believe you need to pay some special attention to these verses. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17 through 32, he wrote these words. He said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him, and we have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Oh, dear child of God, please allow the sweet Holy Spirit of God to help you each and every day to be found victorious over Satan's attacks and his temptations, because you have a desire within your heart to be victorious each and every day. Pastor Belcher is always reminding us to stay in the book and allow the book to stay in you. And this is a must for every born again child of God. If we truly want victory in our lives, but we must have the desire to have victory. And you know, you have a true and everlasting friend in Jesus Christ, your child of God. And let me tell you how that new and everlasting friend desires to be a help to you each and every day. Jesus Christ, now think about this, Jesus Christ himself, he desires to be that new friend who gives you strength and victory over sin. Think about it, folks. There needs to be a new desire in each of our hearts today if we truly want to be victorious over sin. And Jesus is that friend who can help us with that. Look at what he said there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said of our new desire, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, we must seek out the victory. We must desire to be victorious, and we must be willing to trust and obey that friend who gives us the victory over sin. And folks, that friend is Jesus. But then we must also desire to seek after that new friend who gives joy and peace to replace all the pain and sorrow. You see, Jesus told his disciples there in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you go back to the Old Testament scriptures, there in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, verse 5, God assured his servant Joshua of something. And he wrote there, Joshua wrote these words, and he said, God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, there in the New Testament, Jesus, who was the same God that spoke to Joshua in the Old Testament, he was here in the flesh, God in the flesh. He assured his disciples of the very same thing, reminding them there in John chapter 16, verse number 33, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in John chapter 10, verse number 10, Jesus again reminded these same disciples that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What a blessing to know that this new friend who gives joy and peace that replaces all the pain and sorrow of lives ruined by sins assures us through his word that we are indeed his dear child and that we are indeed new creatures in Christ Jesus. But then lastly, I want you to never forget about that friend who gives wisdom and strength in order to face each new day. You know, those disciples who were so down and so discouraged after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, they walked painfully down the road to Emmaus, thinking that everything was over for them now that Jesus was dead. And because of their fears of the unknown, they had no strength and they had no desire to face the new day that was dawning ahead of them. But the Bible tells us, in Luke chapter 24, I love this chapter. Luke chapter 24, beginning there in verse number 15, that as they so sadly walked down that long Emmaus road, that it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. Oh, what a blessing it is when Jesus draws near. And the Bible said he drew himself near and he went with them. But their eyes were hold and that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of conversation are these things which you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Think about that. Man, what a Bible study that must have been. And they drew nigh, the Bible says, unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now listen to this. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, think about it, folks. As Jesus walked that long road with them, and as he heard of their despair and the fear of what the new day ahead of them might hold for them, Jesus began to expound unto them the scriptures. And he opened up their spiritual eyes of understanding. And there in verse 32, we read how that they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Folks, we have a friend that can and will give us wisdom that we desire, as well as the strength that we need to be able to face each and every day, if we will only allow him to open unto us the scriptures concerning himself. As we conclude the lesson today, I want to tell you a little story. The great American evangelist Dwight L. Moody incorporated a certain song in many of his sermons and his writings and teachings that has been such a great help to so many people for more than 100 years. Let me tell you the story behind this song, and then I'll give you the title of the song. Some 150 years ago, two businessmen stood there in Ontario, Canada. They stood on the street corner as a little man carrying a saw walked by them. One of the businessmen looked at that man, and he said, now there is a man who is happy with his lot in life. I wish I could know his joy. Perhaps I can get him to cut my winter's supply of wood. The other man responded, I know that man. He would never cut your firewood. You've got too much money. He cuts wood only for the financially destitute and for those who are physically handicapped and cannot cut their own firewood. That young woodcutter was named Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven was the son of a captain in the British Royal Marines, and he was born in Ireland in 1819. Now, his family was well endowed financially, and they made certain that their son received a good education. But after receiving his university degree from Trinity College in London, he quickly established himself as a teacher, and he fell in love, and he made plans to settle down in his own hometown. But then tragedy struck. And on the day before his scheduled wedding, his fiance drowned. Overcome with grief, Scriven left Ireland to start a new life in Canada. He established a home in Rice Lake where he met and fell in love with a young lady named Eliza Rice. And just weeks before she was to become Scriven's bride, she suddenly grew sick. And in a matter of weeks, Eliza, too, died. A shattered Scriven turned to the only thing that had anchored him during his life, his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through prayer and Bible study, he found not only solace, but he found a mission. The 25-year-old Scriven took a vow of poverty. He sold all of his earthly possessions and vowed to give his life to the physically handicapped and financially destitute. 10 years later, Scriven received word that his mother had become very ill. The man who had taken a vow of poverty did not even have the funds to go home to help take care of his mother. Heartsick and feeling a need to reach out to her, he wrote the story of his life in 3 short verses that he called, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Later, Scriven, when asked, said, "The Lord and I wrote that song together." Several of his friends got a copy of it, and one day, one of them carried a copy to a music publisher. And within 2 years, the little poem of inspiration had been published and coupled to a tune written by an American lawyer, Charles Converse. 2 decades later, the great American evangelist Dwight L. Moody came across the song and believed it to be one of the most touching modern hymns that he had ever heard. It was Moody who gave the song a national platform and caused so many to think that the song had been written there in America. Ironically, on August the 10th, 1886, Joseph Scriven drowned and his body was pulled from the lake waters near Bewdley, Ontario, Canada. And though he did not live to see his song carried to every corner of the globe, 2 monuments were erected in his honor. And each of those monuments has the first stanza of his song engraved upon it. The first stanza says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." Child of God, when God saved you, he made you to become a new creature in Christ, and he has promised to give you the strength and the wisdom and the joy and the peace that the world can never give you. Oh, what a joy to realize the fact that what a friend we have in Jesus. But perhaps you're listening to the sound of my voice today, and you're not yet saved, and you don't have any assurance whatsoever that you'll ever be able to be in heaven when you die. Oh, how I want you to realize that you too have a friend in Jesus today. Why not turn to him and be saved before it's eternally too late? The Bible so earnestly reminds us of the debt that must be paid for our sin, and how that each of us deserves to pay that debt for our sin and to be forever separated from the holy God who loves us in that eternal lake of fire and torment prepared for the devil and his angels called hell. But folks, I want you to understand, the Son of God came down to this earth and he became the friend of sinful men. And there upon the cross of Calvary, he paid the ransom for your soul and for mine. Won't you please be willing today to admit your sin to him, and in faith, believing what the Bible says is true, how that Jesus died for you, how that he was buried for you, how that he arose again that you might have eternal life. Won't you then be willing to go unto God and ask him to forgive you of that sin and to save you today? Believe God's promise that's given to us there in the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. And my friend, there the Bible tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is all over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, dear lost friend, won't you please come to Jesus and be saved today? Lord, I love you. Thank you, God, so much for the lesson today, and how that we are assured through the precious and holy word of God that we are indeed a new creature in Christ the very moment that we come to know you as our Savior. But God, there may be someone listening today that's not yet saved. Help them, Lord, today to be willing to turn unto you and call upon your name and receive you as their own personal Savior before it's eternally too late. Help them, God, today to come to know you and be saved. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today for this lesson entitled, Am I Really a New Creature in Christ After I Get Saved? I hope that you'll be there for the service at 10:45. We'll be there live. We hope to see you. And I hope that you'll come back again at 6 o'clock tonight, and then again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Now, if you're not able to come, we're going to be praying for you that you'll be able to come soon. But you can still live stream the service and watch the services each and every Sunday morning at 10:45, again Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and again on Wednesday night at 7. Join us again as Pastor preaches to us the Word of God. Thank you, folks, so much. We love you, Conquerors Class, and we sure do look forward to seeing each of you here at church in just a little while for the service together again since March. We've not been able to be together, but I hope to see some of you this morning. God bless you. I hope the lesson's been a help to you, and we'll see you again next Sunday morning.